Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ruthie's Comedy Castle. We are, what day am I putting this up on? Well, it's a little unusual this week because I do not have the headliner this week. It's Jordan Jensen this week. It's her week at the Comedy Castle. We'll talk more about Jordan in just 1 minute. But I got a great interview with Wes Ward. He's up July 3rd for his very first headline show. Oh, yeah. There you go. What a fun time to be headlining the Comedy Castle for the first time. So we'll talk about Wes. We'll talk about Jordan here in a second. But let's tell you that today, as I record this, Wednesday, June 11th, Heather Shaw has a single show tonight at 7:30 p.m., so if you want to come out for Heather, Heather has been around and done all kind of shows. The Tamron Hall Show, the Today Show. Part of it was the Uncanny Resemblance to Drew Carey, which has 2.7 million views on TikTok, according to what I'm reading here. But Heather's a lot of fun. That'll be a single show. That's Wednesday, June 11th for that one. And then this weekend, it is Jordan Jensen. She is here. Now, Jordan's a very hot comedian, meaning on the rise, a star in the making. We have a joke at the Comedy Castle. We get you on the way up. We get you on the way down. Well, Jordan, you're on the way up. And it's a pleasure to have you at the club this week. We've got five shows with Jordan Thursday, June 12th at 7:30 p.m., Friday, June 13th at 7:15 and 9:45 p.m., and then two more shows on Saturday at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. with Jordan Jensen. My buddy Brett Solferino, one of my guys, students, going to be emceeing it, and Dan Baxt is the feature for this week. And Jordan, I know, has been on a million podcasts. Got a lot of big following online. She was talking to Mark Norman. I heard this week somebody that Mark Norman and Sam Morrell had her on with the We Might Be Drunk podcast, and she said lots of nice things about the Comedy Castle. They did to her. She wasn't sure how it was going to go, and didn't really work for us to talk this week. I had a lot going on, unfortunately, but it's going to be a great weekend, and if you want to see Jordan Jensen, I know tickets are going quickly for Jordan. It's going to be a big hit this weekend, all right? Father's Day weekend. Maybe bring Dad. I don't know. Go out, hang out with Dad all day, and come see Jordan Jensen tonight. Now, there's a plan for you. Anyway, it's going to be a fun weekend with Jordan, so make sure to check those shows out. But let's talk about Wes Ward. He's coming in here on July the 3rd for us, and you know, Wes is a guy who's been around for a long time. I've known Wes going way, way back to his early days. He was the girl I was dating. He was a female comedian. Became very close with Wes Ward. That was her buddy. He used to go on shows together all the time. And I thought Wes was a nice dude. He's a funny young comic. But I had about 10 years in the business on him. But he has been really working hard. He's played with so many big comics over the years. I remember him opening for Brad Williams at the club not that long ago. He was the first time he appears on the show, he was with Alonzo Bowden. And I actually bring that up in the interview with him. But, you know, he's not only doing his first headline shot on Thursday, July 3rd at 7:30, but he's also planning on recording it for a new special. So, I mean, come on, man. What a pressure cooker. But what a thrill. What a fine time to be a comedian, to get your first headline shot with Wes. Tell you a couple things we talked about with Wes Ward. We talked about him starting in comedy. We talked about what a big deal the Comedy Castle is compared to everything else. We spend a lot of time talking about life on the road. I even bring up some of my favorite or least favorite road gigs from the past. And he kind of jogs my memory as to what those were. I've tried to block out Spring Lake, Michigan, but it's back. We'll talk about the pressure of making a new special and why that's a big deal nowadays to have an actual special and not just an album. So we'll get into that too. It's fun talking to Wes. He's a fun guy to talk to. He's certainly very enthusiastic for this upcoming show in a couple of weeks. And we want you guys to come out for Wes on Thursday, July the 3rd. Should we throw it to Wes? Let's throw it to Wes. Let's do that right now. And we'll be back after. We haven't talked about Jeff Garland. I was going to do that. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. That was a fun interview with Jeff. Let's do a little Jeff Garland talk now. Why don't we do it now? And then we'll throw it to Wes. I don't know. Yeah. Great show with Jeff Garland. I want to thank everybody that came out last Sunday night for Jeff Garland. People asked questions. He opened it up to questions. Some of you folks that asked questions could have asked better questions, in my opinion. So if you didn't hear my interview with Jeff Garland, people have said they really enjoyed it. We talked some in-depth comedy stuff. We got along great. Very nice man in person. Hopefully he comes back. We sold that single show out on Sunday. It was not enough demand for the great Jeff Garland. Anyway, all right. With that being said, here's Wes Ward, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast, Wes Ward.
Wes. Yes, two times.
Yes, you were on. I looked it up before the show. So this is show, let's make official stats here. Why not? We can do this. This is show number 228 of the Comedy Castle podcast.
Gosh.
228. It's a lot. And remember, there's a pandemic in there, too, where there were no shows. But here's the thing.
Right.
Do you remember the number of show that you were on originally?
I'm going to say it was, because I think Tom McCarthy did
Tom,
it, didn't
Tom
he?
Was hosting. Tom did about 2+ years of shows, and I'm at just over 2 years. So, yeah.
I'm going to take a stab at it. I'm going to say I was 41.
You were show number 7.
What the hell?
Show number 7.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, it was.
It's fact, like when Marin blew up. Yeah, it's the same
you were
one.
Show number 7 with Alonzo Bowden.
Were on that was together. A good show. You that was a great show.
Not together, but it was two interviews. Interviews.
No. He only wanted to talk to me for 5 minutes at a time.
But you are back now. You were the MC that weekend. You are the headliner on Thursday,
yes.
July the 3rd. Congratulations, dude.
Thank you. I paid enough money finally that they let me headline the room. And it's great. My family is all very excited for me. They don't know it's happening. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun.
Well,
can't wait.
It's certainly a landmark. There's a word for it. It's a thing that happens to comedians. That is a great goalpost. It's something that people hope will happen one day. And for most, it doesn't.
Right. And it is awesome. I'm glad that I get to do it. I am very excited to do it. The first time I did stand up was at Mark Ridley's an open mic.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember every second. Literally every second.
Take us back. I'm all ears. Let's hear it.
Oh, sure. I'll tell you.
Like, who was your host? Who was the, you know, like all that? Who was on the host, show with you?
The host was Mike Bobbitt.
Okay. Yeah.
The only other people I remember on the show were Mike O'Keefe.
Okay, yeah.
And
lives in Chicago
Allison Hood, who is now Allison.
Yeah, who married Mike Bobbitt.
Who married Mike Bobbitt. And I just remember the first thing I remember is getting lost because I am from a very small podunk town and I had never really been to Royal Oak.
Yeah.
That's a true story, too. And I got lost, and I remember calling and being like, I'm so sorry, I might be late. And everyone was like, nobody cared. Not one person. Nobody was like, and everyone was like, yeah, okay. Whatever, just show up. I cared. I thought I had ruined my career before it had started. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting on stage, and I remember going to tell my first joke. And then completely forgetting what I was going to say. And so I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember what I was going to say. And I got a laugh. And then I remembered the rest of my set and nothing else got a laugh. So I remembered everything. It was great.
Hey, it is what it is, man. That's
right.
Most people's first sets aren't good. And you know, most comedians are good. And I think when I think about, you know, I'm 25 years in, so I've seen many people's first shows, very early shows in their career. I remember my first show. And I feel like the people that have like an awesome first show, you know, their second, third, fourth show usually aren't as good as the first one, and they get very frustrated. And, you know, you want to see, when you're trying to become anything, especially in comedy, you want to see yourself doing a little bit better every time. And if you bomb, there's only one way to go, and that's up.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
If you bomb, then the next time you bomb, you bombed a little bit less, and you can be like, well,
bombing is the baseline. That's bombing is the, and you go from there. If you kill the first time, then it's like, well, everything else, you're either going to have to kill or you're going to feel like you suck now.
Exactly. And I still bomb. I mean,
bombing's relative, but
not at like a paid show, but like if I'm doing it, I'll bomb my ass off.
Yeah, man.
I will have new jokes that they're not ready and I'll just bomb. And these are some of the things you can see on July 3rd. Am I selling myself good? I don't think
I think you're doing a good job, but that's part of the process, is telling these jokes. They're new. I mean, I think one thing of, you know, for, I don't know how many years you've been in it now. What's your actual number? Do you know how many?
It's going to be 15 years in November.
Sure, that's plenty. But, you know, you start to get an ear for what you think might be good. That's the thing you didn't have when you started. You didn't have it 2-3 years in. But at year 15, you got a feeling for, when you write this, you should be fairly confident that it'll work.
You never know. Sometimes maybe it's just like hubris or ego. You'll just be like, oh, this is going to work. And then you do it and it's just dead silent. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, God, what did I even think? I'm going to quit. I'm going to become a welder. This is it. I'm done with this shit. It's over. Can I swear? I don't know if I can swear.
You sure can.
Oh, yeah. It's a podcast.
Well, you're going to swear on July 3rd. So.
I will probably swear. I'm not a heavy swear word person. But I do swear. I do let them fly. I have a limited vocabulary.
Yeah. Well, they're all adults.
So this is what exactly.
All adults at the Comedy Castle.
Right.
Give them a little language. Why not?
Exactly.
It's the 4th of July weekend.
4th of July weekend.
People fought and died for your right to say, Castle.
What better way to celebrate the last Independence Day?
Yeah, well.
Than to come see it.
Let's not go. Let's not bump people out.
All right, sorry.
I know your act. You're not political, really, right?
My act is negative politics.
Yeah,
I'm apolitical on stage.
I mean, even when it's good, it's still divisive.
Even when it's good, you're just like, well, did we need it? Did we need it? Did we need to hear that?
Well, you also want to, you know, look, this is your headlining debut. You want people to come out. You don't want them to not, you know, don't give them any reason to not come out. You know, no reason.
Actually, we should have had this talk before the podcast.
Well, we're having it now. The thing is, we're doing this early enough that, hey, there could be, there's time there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I know this is supposed to be my interview, but how long have you worked at the castle at this point?
As a staff member, I've worked there 13 years on the staff. And, you know, I started there doing comedy in 1999 at the very end.
Holy crap.
Very end of 99. So 26 years at the end of this year.
Damn. That's impressive.
I mean, I walked in and I've probably told this story on the show, but first time I did open mic at the castle, it was maybe my fifth show overall, fifth or sixth or something like that. And I walked in and I didn't really know where to go. So I walk down the little ramp towards the showroom. There's a man with a cash register taking money. That's how we did it back in the day. And he said, you just go that way and head to the back. And the MC's back there. So I had him. Did that. Went out. Did my little 6-7 minutes. Came out. The man at the cash register said, you were really funny. That was a great job. And I said, oh, my God, the cash register guy likes me. Well, then I start walking around the club and I realize the cash register guy is actually Mark Ridley.
Wow.
How about that? Yeah.
That is really early.
That was my first night at the Comedy Castle. That's what Mark used to do, though. Mark used to sit there, like where you see me and Bill standing when you walk into the Comedy Castle. there was a cash register there, and that's where you bought your ticket.
He was the door guy. He was the door guy. That's crazy. I didn't even know that.
He did all.
He actually, I heard he actually came up with the idea of a door guy. Did you hear this?
Well, I don't know about that. The three comic show is his.
Yeah, I know.
He did the three comic show, baby.
No one knows that. That was a joke for you.
I mean, the door guy, I mean, you could ask him. He's a humble man. He won't take credit for everything, but.
He won't. He won't.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, no.
That's how I met Mark, and that was, you know, that was amazing. And it's like, what a better, because, you know, now I talk to comics. And they're like, I've never met Mark, and you know, they've been on the scene for 10 years, and
right,
you know, I've been playing this club, but I've never met Mark.
Hey, the like, man's, you know, enjoying his time in Florida.
Absolutely is,
and he should. The guy was running; he was a door guy.
He was
for
the
Christ
door guy.
Sakes.
He was taking the money.
Let the guy enjoy Florida. Yeah. But no, my thing was with Mark I think it was like the fourth or fifth time I did an open mic there.
Yeah.
And he was just out by the door. He was actually, weirdly enough, he was handing out flyers.
Yeah.
This was not that long. This was probably 15 years ago. Yeah, yeah. He was handing flyers to people at the open mic that were leaving, like the audience members.
Yeah. Come on back. And, come see a show.
And I remember he just goes, hey, Wes, how you doing? I'm like, Mark Ridley knows my name. And I started crying, called my parents and told me I'm going to Hollywood.
Well,
the whole thing.
He's always been good about knowing the acts that play his club. Unlike a lot of club owners, and I know you've probably met these guys, they don't watch the show, they don't know who you are, they don't really care who you are. Maybe the headliners they care about. The guys
they
that
know
are,
they
you know,
own a comedy club still.
Well, they're there.
The whole thing.
They're just hanging out, or they're there because the, you know, they like comedy and they'll pop in and watch a show, but they're trying to make money. And I think some guys, you know, some people have, this is a theory more than it's true, but I think it's like a lot of businesses. You just have it there for like the write-offs, you know,
right.
You throw it in there and go, hey, maybe this will make money. And if it doesn't, it's a fun place for me and my buddies to hang out. And
And then I get to tell all my friends I own a comedy club.
And you get that all those stories of famous people you paid to come to your place. I don't know.
Exactly.
But Comedy Castle is not one of those places.
Did you ever think about owning a comedy club, Joel?
In this economy, I don't think I'd want to own a comedy club.
No.
To be honest with you, but I think so much of the success of a comedy club is location and sort of where you're at, and I don't think it works everywhere, and you need a certain room capacity in order to get certain acts, and you know, you could run something really small
And have a good time.
And have a good time with it. But yeah. I don't think I would invest money into a comedy club. I'd be happy running a club for someone who put up the money. I'd enjoy
there
doing that,
go.
I think. But I don't think
second
myself...
Second in command.
Well, you know, it's like I'll make this as good as I can and you pay me a salary and I'd be happy. The thing about owning something... it's just, you know, more of them fail than succeed. And I mean, you've been around 15 years, but places aside from the Comedy Castle that you started at aren't even around anymore.
Joey's. I probably shouldn't name them.
Well,
yeah, there's a ton.
What are they going to do with Joey's?
Yeah, that's true.
Joey's. I almost made
another joke. See, I'm trying
listen,
to make
I
keep making jokes.
There were two, when I started, there were two Joey's clubs. There was a Chaplin's on the east side, which had been there since, you know, the early 80s. And that went away eventually, you know, so I played all of those places.
You just sparked my memory.
All right.
That was my first sign up for an open mic was not at Ridley's. It was at Chaplin's.
Was it at Chaplin's? God,
it was at Chaplin's when I showed up.
Yeah,
it was closed. Yeah. There was legitimately a chain on the door. And I should have just read that as a sign, and I didn't.
I don't even know that they did much open mic there at all, at least since in my career, I never did open mic there. I played there a bunch of times, but I never did open mic there.
Well, they had some sort of, like, sign-up amateur comedy night. And I signed up and then showed up, and, yep, it was chained up.
Maybe
someone scammed me. Who knows? I don't know.
Turns out they were the amateurs, Wes.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
It's amateur night because they were run. It was being run by amateurs and fools. That's who ran Chaplin's Comedy Club. Fools. They were all fools.
Wait a minute.
I know their names. They were fools. They were all fools that hopefully don't listen to podcasts. They were all fools.
I also hope they don't either. My God.
I'm saying it.
None of this is airing.
No,
this is all going to be gone. It will be in a recycle bin.
Put something up.
All
right. So Comedy Castle, you're in Michigan. Okay. You're doing Comedy Castle. You're starting out.
Yes.
You then eventually get to the road. And I know I keep up with you on Facebook and all that.
I'm everywhere.
I know you're on the road, man. Let's talk about the road.
Oh, God.
You're really doing the road, it seems like, at this point.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of shows, a lot of weekends, some comedy clubs, some one-nighters. It's fun. I still enjoy it. The drives are getting a little more tough because I'm getting older.
Yep.
Those things kind of suck now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm a little bit like, oh my God, I got to drive. But every time I get there, it all goes away. It really does. It all goes away.
Well, you got to enjoy it. And you got to, you know, I was even thinking today about my time on the road. And I was just like, Brad, how many times did I play in West Virginia? And I started to count in my head and I go, can I remember anything that happened inside the club in West Virginia? And I can't. But I remember the hotels, and I remember like the drives, and I remember the truck stops on the way.
Yeah.
But the actual show is sort of meaningless to me because it's such a small part of that whole road gig thing.
Right.
You know, it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, most of comedy is driving. Yeah. We're truck drivers, but we just have jokes. That's all we are. And we also pee in bottles.
I've never done that.
No, I've never done it either. To stop at a lot of Loves, a lot of Pilots.
Go to the Loves, Pilot.
I have 19 gas station apps on my phone.
Really?
So I can save 5 cents off of 32 ounces of Pepsi.
You hit a Flying J. If you got a Flying J and a Pilot next to each other, where are you going?
Right. What's that one? TWIA.
Is that one too?
I don't even know what they all are. I do like it still. I mean, like I said, some of the drives get a little bit much, but I just did a fun club in Michigan that's down southwest. And little 90 seater, but great. I loved it. And then you ever go in someplace and you're not expecting, you remember like going into a place, you're not expecting it to be fun. And then you get there and it's amazing. You're like, holy crap. I didn't think this was going to be anything.
Yeah.
I love those.
There's that. Ah. But I probably had more. I expected it to be amazing and it wasn't than I didn't expect it. And then I just started expecting them. I don't know, man.
Maybe that's what happened. So I think this is what happens is that we do the road thing. And like you just said, you go in thinking it's going to be amazing. And then it flips at some point.
Mm.
And you're like, this is going to be dog shit. This is going to be the worst gig I've ever had. Yeah. This is it. This is going to be my last show. And then you get there and it ends up being great. And you're hooked for another 5 years.
Yeah, that's what happens. True. But
that's what happens with me.
I also would go to places
like
for the fourth or fifth time. And
they're
like 0-4. You know what I mean? like I'd go to these towns where the last four shows were poorly attended.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't really fun to do. I mean, I always did my thing. I wasn't like, you know, I never got in trouble at the gig. You know, I wasn't yelled fighting with the audience. There was no issue, man. It was like I'd go up on stage and I'd tell my jokes and it was sort of okay. And then it's like, you know, all right. And then it's 6 months later. Hey, you want to go back to, you know, Yoder'd be hitting me up to go back to. What's the Thursday Hotel on the West Side?
Oh, man.
Do you know the funny business?
There used to be one. It was.
And maybe it's not around anymore, but my God, did that suck.
It was Spring Lake.
Spring Lake, Michigan. I don't know the name of the hotel.
Spring Lake.
Hotel Bar.
Yep, it was the hotel thing, and then you got the hotel in it, and that was one you just kind of did for the, I got a hotel.
No, and then they're like, well, you got to do Spring Lake, and then for a while, Spring Lake had like a Friday and Saturday, like
in
Indiana attached to it, and then it became that there was no, so when you're doing the road, for those of you that haven't been a road comic, you know, you say you get a run of shows, meaning you'd have like three one-nighters. You go somewhere Thursday, somewhere Friday, somewhere Saturday. So Spring Lake was the first night of the run. And even though it sucked, it was like, well, it was part of the run. So really what it is that all your road expenses were getting to the first show. And then the second and third show is where you actually made money.
Right.
And those would be in Indiana. And then Spring Lake went from a run to just, hey, well, you want to come to Spring Lake for one night?
And it was for like, one night, yeah.
No.
And that's where that's when the fun dies out.
Yeah, you've gotta be, it was like,
yeah, it was like, that's, I don't know how many listeners you have. I'm guessing you have some comics. That's the thing you got to get good at is you almost have to find your own one-nighters now.
Yeah,
like disrespect to like anybody that books rooms or anything. They're doing what they can at this point. That's how I kind of look at it. They're doing what they can, but at this point, you're the one that has to find the room to attach to the gig.
That's true.
That's all it is now.
And comics though, running their own shows, which is so much of the road, way more than when I was doing it.
Yes.
I mean, when I say comics weren't booking shows, there were guys but they were bookers, even though they had done stand-up comedy. A lot of them weren't really actively doing it, or once in a while they'd be the headliner. But now that, you know, a comic that just has one room, that thing can last for years and years.
Right. And you'll do it six times a year. Right,
or whatever. Crazy. But you know, it's once a month or it's once, you know, a week, and then it's like, well, we take the summer off, but it always comes back in September, and those can be fantastic. And a lot of those just weren't around.
Yeah, no, it is. You are right. It is a lot of comics in random small towns that will run there. And honestly, some of those rooms can be the most fun.
Yeah.
Some of those rooms could be crazy. Those people are desperate for any entertainment, and you go there and they're very appreciative that you even showed up.
And this is a thing too that I think has changed. Now I haven't done a road gig. I've done some local gigs in the last couple of years, but no like road, like small town gigs. I find that I would imagine now, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, Wes, or maybe this never affected you, but it certainly affected me. The small town audience is a little more sophisticated and understands what comedy is. Meaning when they say it's comedy night, they're not expecting Larry the Cable Guy up there.
So it depends on I'll splice it. It depends on the small town.
Okay.
If you go to a really small town, it's still that.
Okay.
They think you're going to be the funniest guy that's ever lived and do exactly the material they like.
Yeah.
But it's those mid-sized towns, those like 5,000 to 10,000. Those are the ones that it's like, no, they know what it is.
And it's not,
they know what it is.
And there's not a thing about, like, I think it's presented better too. In a lot of ways. It's not, you know, because these places now, they're wineries, they're breweries. They might have a deck or some sort of party room in them. And you're
sometimes
not,
they'll even have a stage.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great when you get a stage.
Yeah,
that's amazing. You don't always get a stage.
Yeah, well, you walk in, you see a stage. You're like, all right, somebody's been actually taking care of this
place.
Like,
I feel like it's less Best Western conference rooms.
You walk in and there's a carpet and a karaoke machine is your is your mic and speaker.
I
didn't think we were gonna go down reminiscing road, but I kind of dig it.
Well, I mean, the thing is that if you just come to the that's why people I don't even think they understand how spoiled they are to have the Comedy Castle. I think until
I
you
agree.
And that's young comics don't understand how good the Comedy Castle is because they haven't played in some of these small towns. And audiences who, you know, have always lived in Metro Detroit and have always come to the Comedy Castle for shows don't realize how good those shows are, how well the club is run, how good, you know, the lighting, the staging, all of that makes you really have a great time compared to what other people in other towns get.
I think the thing is you don't appreciate it until you go to another club and you see how other clubs are ran.
Mm-hmm.
So you think like, oh, this is just how clubs are. Like when you do the Comedy Castle, right? When you first do it, then you get to other clubs and you're like, oh, they're just doing it the way it's supposed to actually be done. Like Comedy Castle is actually doing it the way you're supposed to do it. And some of the other ones, it's like, I don't know what's happening in here. How long? And then you'll like talk to like whoever runs it, and you're like, yeah, we've been here for 28 years. I'm like, how is this here still? What is happening right now?
I remember being at one night and just going like, do you want me to go on now? Should we start this? Like
the TVs are on.
Should we do the show? Would it be a good time now?
We gotta wait for the pool league to get done. And then you can go up.
There's all of those.
Yeah.
We're going. Here's what it's gonna do. So you're the feature. So the first intermission of the Red Wings game, we're gonna put up the feature. And then between the second and third period, we'll put up the headliner.
But we're going to have the TV on the whole time. We're never turning it off.
They'd mute it. So you couldn't hear Mickey Redmond talking between the,
I did one recently where you could hear the music still playing. Like they did not turn the music all the way down. The show ended up being fine because I just kept making fun of the fact that I could hear like Chris Stapleton playing while I'm doing my joke about Netflix. Terrible. I'm like, this is great.
I did a show. This is a local show, but it was in a sports bar. So think giant, the biggest televisions you could possibly have behind the stage. And you might know this. If you don't know it, you guys can look this up. It's easy to find. I think Wes, you might get this reference, but I was standing in front of a replay of the Pride Fighting Championships showing Don Fry versus Takayama. Now, if that doesn't mean anything to you, if you're listening to this, you got to look up Don Fry and Takayama. It's the most insane fight it's ever been held. You know that fight?
I know of Pride.
Yeah, it was the Pride.
I know of Pride. Pride
they,
Fighting.
They would replay on like Fox Sportsnet. So it would be an old show. It wasn't like a current show because I knew that fight. I followed that and saw it when it happened. But this is, 5-6 years down the road. It's getting replayed on Fox Sportsnet on a Sunday night. And they don't turn it off. And it's like two giant guys beating the shit out of each other. 10 feet high behind the stage. It was ridiculous.
And you're just like, well, anyway, dating's weird, huh? Some guys in a chokehold. Everybody's cell phone is going off at the same, and you're just like, "This is."
If I can find it on YouTube, I'm gonna link to Fry Takayama over on ComedyCastlePodcast.com. If it's on YouTube, it is the literally real life Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It's the craziest fight you'll ever want to see.
Well, as soon as this is over, I'm going to go on to YouTube and watch it immediately.
Versus Takayama. There you go.
I probably have seen it. It's just a wild thing.
It was a wild thing. All right, let's get a couple things here because you are now. First of all, I want to, as I'm reading your bio, you've made a, I think, successful comedy album, White Forest Whitaker. I see the stats. What year was that?
That was 2019. So
okay,
it was,
6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I made that it was weird. It actually kept picking up streams and I didn't know how. And then it was getting added. I really didn't. Every couple months I just forget and then I'd check and it was getting added to all these like comedy playlists. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening and end up like getting decent streams.
Sure.
Like for a person that doesn't have like a label, I thought it was pretty crazy.
And you got a couple little checks from stuff.
It's around 300,000 streams. I think I got about $20. So it's been great.
I don't know.
I retired.
You never got the Sirius XM money. You never got that.
I got exactly one check from Sirius XM. I don't know if my stuff's getting played though.
I don't know.
I think the clips are a little too short. They like those like 4 minutes and mine are all. I come from the I'll just be honest, I modeled after Skanks for the Memories. In terms of not material, but of terms of like time.
Yeah.
So I'd like look at and all of David Tell's like a duration for a bit would be like a minute 30. So yeah. I was like, that's it.
That's
minute
it.
30.
That's all you
each
need.
Every one. I don't need 4 minutes on why my dad doesn't like me.
Yeah.
I think we got a minute 30 in and out of the joke. So I kind of modeled it after that. So I don't think it really played over there.
I got some comedy advice on this show recently about that exact
Ooh.
Thing. You want to hear it? Okay.
What's up?
This is K. Trevor Wilson.
Okay. Perfect.
Star of Letterkenny and a huge, huge star in Canada, you know, like almost a household name in Canada. Okay.
Right.
And he said that what you do is you have a bit, and he literally made an, like, for example, he made an album that was all Christmas material.
Wow.
Because he says around the holidays, these comedy channels will play the Christmas bits. And he said, you want to have a bit somewhere on an album about Mother's Day. You want to have a bit somewhere in your act about, you know, these holidays, you know, whatever. In the States, we'd have probably one about, you know, Memorial Day weekend, or you'd have a joke about the 4th of July, and you put those out and those go out. And because what it is that they're going to play these things, you know, at that time of year. And it's instant airplay. And he literally makes these records that are like, I've got this bit. I'm writing a bit about Mother's Day. I'm writing a bit about, you know, that stuff. And he had an album about Canada. So each track is about a different place in Canada.
That's
isn't that wild?
Well, see, this is why he's successful.
Yeah. And he you know, it's not that he's not an artist, because when you hear the material, it doesn't sound like, you know, you sat down. It's like these are a really funny collection of jokes you know, the Manitoba bit was killer, but so was the Nova Scotia one, you know, so was the Prince Edward Island.
I can also imagine, too, if you send that in the Sirius and it's just marked, this is a Christmas comedy album.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank God I don't have to do any work. I can just throw this on.
So
that's brilliant.
And he sang Christmas carols on there. He had a band and sang. It was amazing. This guy's and I know, like, because Trev is like, his management is I think it's Comedy Records out of Toronto. So he's like real deep with the record company, man. And they do that stuff.
Oh, that's so smart.
It's like really well thought out. And I was like,
we better get a taquito roller holiday soon. Otherwise, I don't know if my material is getting played.
Fourth of July weekend, man. Come up with something. Come up with something.
I'll be all Fourth of July.
And then
jokes.
You just do Fourth of July.
And then I'll be immediately taken off stage.
But he said, it's on the show. You can listen if you haven't listened to it. But he said he had to record.
Listen, people.
No, for Trevor Wilson, he said, you know, I had to record the Christmas material in the summer so they could release it around the holidays.
That's so funny.
So he had to let everyone at the club that came to see him was like, hey, by the way, he's doing all Christmas jokes tonight.
I hope they decorated. That would rule so hard.
I don't put anything past him. But, you know,
exactly.
But the fact that you've had this successful record, right? You know, for you.
Decent.
Yeah. And now this week, this Thursday, July 3rd show is going to be a new comedy special for you. Tell us about
it's
that.
It's going to be. Okay. Well, I've had the material for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, what we do. Just trimming, and then I just sort of was it was time. I needed I need to record it. I need something visual. I don't have anything visual. Nobody listens to albums much anymore, maybe on Sirius, stuff like that. But it's very hard to just get an album anymore. So I have a very talented person who will be doing my video. And I'm pumped. As soon as I got told that I was going to come headline, my brain went there, even though it shouldn't have, but it did. It was like, well, this may never happen again, so you better get it on video.
Yeah.
And it will probably be on something, maybe YouTube, Tubi, Freebie.
Well,
CISO could be on CISO. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, it changes so frequently that now you see huge comics going, I just put it out on YouTube, and then you know, that's the thing, and The whole thing exists on YouTube. The clips go on Instagram. They go on TikTok. They become YouTube shorts, and you can make this whole life out of it and do that thing.
We got in this to tell jokes, and now I'm a video editor.
Well,
and I'm a video editor, and I run a whole management team at this point. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
You're a truck driver.
I'm a truck driver with jokes. That's what I thought I wanted to be, and now I'm doing all everything. I'm running ads on Facebook for my shows.
Oh, are you really? Okay. Well, that's
I've been doing a lot of that. It actually helps. It does help.
I've promoted the advanced comedy class on Facebook. Actually,
See, it does work though.
You do it.
It does work.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. It's I am just very much looking forward to the night. Obviously it is a big deal. I think I'm underselling everything. That's what I do, but it's a big deal. It is for especially comics in the Midwest in general. Mm-hmm. It's like a, that North Star that people point to. It's like, I want a headline there.
Yeah.
And so I am very excited and appreciative. And I love hosting and featuring but It's going to be awesome. I'm very much looking forward to it. I, like I said, don't know the listenership of it, but I live in Royal Oak. I live 5 minutes from the castle. and that is not the reason I got.
No, but
it is. I am 5 minutes from. Yes. So come see. I don't know. Somebody lives there.
Anyone that you run into in your neighborhood is a potential audience member for July 3rd.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's going to be a good time. And I just want to make this really clear too, is the openers, Brett Hayden and Patty Rooney are fantastic.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
I could not think of two people who they're great joke writers. They're funny. It's going to be just a fun weekend. So if you hate my guts, come for those two because they're fantastic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they are great. And
but hey, if you hate comedy, come anyway. The staff's great. Everyone in the staff's awesome.
Come if you hate Wes, come.
Yeah, if you hate
come
me,
and root come against them.
It.
Yeah.
Try to root against me, but I'll make you laugh, you rat bastards. I will do it.
If you think Wes sucks, you need to see that in real life. You need to see that with your own two eyes.
You come there with your arms crossed. I'm not going to be paying attention to you anyway. So it's going to be great.
Well, listen, that's a great. Here's the thing. It's a holiday week in which you go, okay, it's not great. No one has to work on Friday.
Exactly.
No, it's a practical holiday night. It's like that night before Thanksgiving when everyone goes to the bar.
Exactly. Just you're not leaving until Friday morning.
Yeah.
To wherever you're going, your cabin or wherever you are, your boats. Come on, just come to the comedy castle. That's what I'm saying. Come watch me film this special.
So. Yeah, it's going to be. Hey, listen, I'm so happy that you got this.
Thank you.
I wanted to, I should be in the audience for that or backstage or wherever I'll be. And
kicking out a couple of my drunk family members.
Yeah, we'll kick them right out.
Dragging them out.
You kick them right. You heckle Wes or kicking you right out.
Yeah, you rat bastards.
I'm gonna go like, oh, you might keep talking like that. Hey, Bill, kick this guy out. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I do.
You know what I'm slightly excited for?
Yeah.
Is if I mess up a joke.
Yeah.
I am going to say I'm restarting this because I can. That's what I'm really excited for.
Well,
in real time, you get to see what a fraud I am. It's going to be great.
Well,
I can't wait.
That's the risk of taping one show.
I know.
And making one show the thing. And I talk to all these guys on the show. And when I bring up the special, usually, it's two. And I forget who it was, but he's like, we were taping two. And, the one show, something happened at the club and they had to cancel one of the performances. It became a one and he was sweating, but it turned out good. So I don't know.
Yeah,
in a way.
First album was one show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a daredevil. What can I say?
But psychologically, maybe having two means it's not important if one is good because you'll get it the next time. But with one, you got to get it right.
Yeah, and also, I'm like tooting my own horn, but I'm so comfortable at this point with this hour that I've been I've been doing it forever at this point. So I'm like, I want to get it out there, and also it gives me a chance to write more after.
There you go.
And gives me motivation to do that. So I'm very excited for all of it. I'm very excited to see whoever comes out, and the ticket sales look okay. So I hope more people keep buying them. So.
Well, listen, we're putting this out early so we can get some sales. Wes, we're
going to hell yeah.
Help you out here.
I appreciate that. I appreciate having me on.
Absolutely, dude. I love, this is some of my favorite interviews to do with, it's people I know getting their first headline chance. I've interviewed so many over the last couple years, you know, I mean, Cam Rowe, Melanie Hearn.
Heck yeah.
You know,
all super talented, funny.
Yeah, yeah. All these people that are getting their first headline shot. Yeah.
Right. Did you do, did you do one with Blaine?
Yeah, did Blaine? Sure.
Blaine, yeah. Blaine is fantastic. Blaine's He's amazing. Another one of my favorites.
Absolutely. So
great job, writer.
Yeah. So we're trying. I mean, hey, that's a very exciting thing for a new comic, getting that first headline at the castle, knocking it out of the park.
You be there, people. All right, buddy. Come buy a ticket. It's $20 or whatever it is. I don't know how much it is. How much is it?
Well, you know, now President Biden, this is an answer for you, has decided that you have to put all of the fees in the price there.
Oh, no. Those rat bastards.
So if I say it's $20, come out see Wes Ward, it's actually $26.70.
And I am recording the special in 2022. There you so go. It's perfect.
Wes Ward, the best $26.70 you will spend.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. $26.70.
That's exactly what
buy?
It is.
You can't get eggs for that much anymore.
It's on
anymore?
The website. $26.70.
So there you go. Perfect. I like it.
It's a carton of cigarettes. I'm in. No, that's not a carton of cigarettes.
I'm going to buy so many tickets. Me personally. All right.
Wes.
I think we did it.
I think we did it. And thanks for talking to me. This is great.
Hey, thank you for talking to me. I can't wait for it. I'll be around maybe beforehand, but if not, I will see you July 3rd.
You will definitely see me July
3rd. Every single listener of this podcast.
Listen to the show. Come on out. See Wes Ward. You're going to love it.
Hell yeah.
Taping the special. Be part of the special. The audience can be on the special, technically.
You can be on the special.
Be on the special. There you go.
You can be YouTube moderately viewed on YouTube. How about that?
We just sound desperate now. Wes, I love you. Let's get people out there. We'll say goodnight for now. Thanks for talking to me, dude.
Oh, of course.
All right. Follow Wes wherever you're on social media.
Wes Ward Comedy.
You got your tickets at comedycastle.com as always. Thanks, Wes.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Wes, man. That was fun. We went a little long, but hey, why not? Time flies when you're having fun, and I had a lot of fun talking to Wes. Any guy works on his stuff. We go to this New Way Bar open mic on Mondays, me and my students of the advanced comedy class. Go over there. Wes is there working on stuff Monday night. Could be sitting at home. Did shows all weekend on the road. You hear these stories. He's in the loves. Not great. The road comic life, you know, when you can fly to your gigs and get picked up and dropped off, maybe that's a better life. I don't know that I ever led that life really as a comic. I was a road dog driving in the car. And that's what Wes is doing now. But he's going to make this special. It's coming up on July 3rd, so you get your tickets. Maybe he's flying into his next gig. Maybe that special blows up and people want to roll out the red carpet for Mr. Wes, and I hope they will. He's a good dude. I hope you enjoyed that talk. I know I did. And again, this weekend, hey, it's Jordan Jensen weekend at the Comedy Castle. Should be a good one. Again, 5 shows. They're going quick, so go over to comedycastle.com where you can sign up for that. You can get more information on the comedy classes. I've got a brand new advanced comedy class starting up July 12th. Always looking for students. So if you've done a little comedy, you want to get better, sign up for the advanced comedy class. Call the Comedy Castle at 248-542-9900, and they'll sign you up for that. But thanks a lot to everybody for listening. It's been a fun couple of weeks here on this show with Jeff Garland last week. We got Wes this week. Jordan Jensen's at the club. Summer used to be dead for comedy, but not anymore. We're keeping it alive at the Comedy Castle. Please come out, have some laughs with us. Thanks for listening to this thing, as always. And we'll catch you next week, all right? Bye-bye.